כמה הוא נשאר?
Stoy Day, Tewe, Rabbi Moshe Stanthouse.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to begin with some thoughts on the parashah, and then perhaps, if there is time, to go over to the Sfirat HaOmer. One little horror at the beginning of the Sedra. The Torah says, V'kidashtoi. The Klal Yisrael have got a chiyuv to honor the and sanctify the Kohen. The Rishonim have got a problem. Rashi says on this spot, V'kidashtoi, al korchoi, against his will. Shim lo rotel legarish. If he doesn't want to be megarish, halakeu, give him malchus, viasreu, and then chastise him actually garish until he gives her a get. So the Rishonim have got a problem. Is this din davka about with kayanim? This din we know applies to Yisraelim and non-kayanim as well. That a person says, Sukkaini Yoshev, I'm not going to sit in a sukkah, Lulavaini Noitel, I'm not going to take a lulav. Where we give him malchus, Makinus Ashatitanasha. So why should a Kohen, why would you have thought that a Kohen, there's no din kafir on a Kohen? Surely he's no less, he's more than a Yisrael. So there's an interesting teretz in one of the Rishonim, known as the Moshav Zakenim. It's a collection of Rishonim brought out by the late Rabbi Fassoon Zichron Livracha in Letchworth. And the Moshav Zakenim says as follows. He says, the Tema, Peshito, well, it's obvious. Well, obviously you force a Kohen. Why is he worse than a Yisrael? If anything, he's more. If he doesn't want to put on tefillin, you give him malchus till he puts it on. I might have thought that the Kohen can say, oh, that is only with mitzvahs which apply to a Yisrael, you force him. But mitzvahs which apply to a Kohen, you don't force it. What's the Havon? Why should a Kohen be any less than a Yisrael? Says the Moshav Zakenim, Motzi Lemeva, because the Kohen can argue, Tani Chuy, leave me alone, Leos Kamo Yisrael, how would you like a Yisrael to marry a Grusha? Shlo Avoidod. Okay, I won't do the Avoidah. So the way I understand the Moshav Zakenim, what he appears to be saying is that the Isurim of Kahuna come as a privilege, come as a duty because of his privileges. He's got the right to do the avodah. He gets certain chalokim and the kodshim, and therefore, because of these privileges, he's got certain chiyuvim. So he could say, well, I don't want the extra isurim, and I'll be mevater on the privileges. This sounds like a bit like an echo of Eini Nizainus Vei Oisa. A woman says, I don't Mizainus, and I won't do give Maaseh Yadayim. Because of the Kiddush of the Kohanim and their privileges, now I don't want the privileges, and I don't want the extra chiyuvim. And I'll be like Yisrael. Kamash Malon. So the Torah has to come and tell us no. Dal Korcho Tarchel Garisho. Alamod Al Kedushaso. I think what the Moshav Zakenim means is that these extra Isurim don't come because of his privileges. They come because of his actual status as a Kohen, and therefore he can't free himself from these Isurim. Because of his Kedusha. Yeah. Not because of his privilege. Even if he's willing to forego the privileges, that won't help him. He's still bound by all the Yisurim of the Torah. Okay, I want to move from the beginning of the Sedra to the end of the Sedra, to the parish of Mayadim. As we all know, In the latter half of the Seder, we've got the Parsha of Midian, a long section. And actually, much of the Parsha is taken up by the Midian. And actually, the very presence of the Midian in the Parsha creates a problem. What is the problem? The problem is, we know that the specific designation of the name of Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is known as Teras Kayanim. It talks about the Kayanim, it talks about the Beis Hamir, the Mishkan, it talks about the Korbanos. And the Shaila is, what Shaychus of the Moedim in Parshas, in Sefer Vayikra? And the first of the Rishon to articulate this Shaila is the Ramban. And the Ramban has got a problem. He says, what room is there in Sefer Vayikra for the Mayadim? I mean, are the mitzvahs specific to a Kohen? Has a Kohen got no mitzvah of Shofar? Has a Kohen got no mitzvah of Lulav and Arba Minim? Lulav and Yeshiva Sukkah? That's the cash of the Ramban. The Ramban answers that Ein Chanami, the Parshas Mayadim is related to the Kohanim. In what way? Through which aspect? It says, through the Korbanos. Through the Korbanos. The Musafim, which are offered up on the Yomim Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they are obviously brought by the Kohanim. They relate to the Kohanim. And every Moed has got Korbanos Musaf. So that's why the parasha of the Moedim comes into Teras Kohanim, because the days are days on which you bring a Korban Musaf. And that relates to the Kohen. But that's not the end of the story. Because that raises another problem, which the Ramban raises. The Torah doesn't mention the Musafim in detail in Parshas Amor. The Torah waits until Parshas Pinchas to tell us about the Korbanos Musafim. And the Shali is why. I mean, if as the Ramban says, that the reason why the Moedim come in, say, in Teras Kohanim is because of the Musafim. That's the whole reason why they get into Teras Kohanim. So why aren't the Musafim mentioned in Teras Kohanim in detail? So the Ramban says, Lishitasa, he says, the Musafim, there's another consideration over here. The Ramban, Lishitasa, holds that the Musafim were not brought in the Midbar. I mean, granted, the Talmud, etc., but the Musafim, the Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yomim Tovim, weren't brought in the Midbar. So you have so it's not appropriate to describe the Musafim in Teras Kohanim. Only later on, in Parshas Pinchas, when we're on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael, they're about to enter the land, and then the Korbanos will become part of the regular Seder, then it's appropriate in Parshas Pinchas, Erev the Kenisa into Eretz Yisrael, to describe the Musafim at length. But here in Sefer Teras Kohanim, they don't really belong here. And so the Torah is only content with mentioning the Musafim Beremez, the Hikravtem, Minchach, what's the Loshen, after each Yom Tov, it says that, just in a word or two, the one offers the Korban Musaf. So you've got an interesting balance between principle and practice. On the one hand, in principle, these days have got Korbanos, and are there, that's why they mention in the Teras Kohanim, which is devoted to Korbanos, but in practice, since they're not brought until the Midbar, that's why they can't be mentioned in detail until Sefer Midbar. So this is the derech of the Ramban to explain why they're mentioned in Toras Kayanim. So it's interesting. The Yomim Tovim are mentioned in Toras Kayanim only because of the Karbonos, and the Karbonos themselves are not described in detail in Toras Kayanim. A totally different approach is explained by the Maral and others. And the Maral explains that the reason why it comes into Toras Kohanim is not because of the Kohanim, but for a totally different reason. Namely, a comparison between two themes. The themes of the concentration of Kedusha. What do I mean by that? We know that the Shekhinah is everywhere, and yet at the same time, there are certain places where the Kedusha is more felt, it's more palpable, it's more concentrated, however you want to put it. And the place where the Shekhinah is more concentrated is in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, that's the only place we're allowed to bring Korbanos. What the Torah is doing, the reason why the Maadim come into Toras Kohanim is because the Torah is then moving from what we could call Kedushas HaMokoim to Kedushas HaZaman. That just as physically there are places which have got more Kedusha, a greater concentration of Kedusha, namely in the Mishkan and the Migdosh, so similarly, what Hashem is telling us is there are also times which are more kadosh. The Svarim call the Yomim Tovim, Shabbos on the Yomim Tovim, a sanctuary in time. So that's the connection between the two. It's interesting. I remember once I'm saying in parenthesis a Maamar Muska. Remember the Kohen Gadol has got Parisha, it has to be separated on Yom Kippur. So it's for 7 days before. Parisha is a Kohen Gadol. So actually, the Yom Kippur is a day where you've got, where the two concentrations of Kedusha meet. You've got Kedushas HaMokoim, and you've got Kedushas HaZaman. So Rabbi Menachem Zember, Zechon Livracha, Hashem Yinkum Tomek, Rabbi Menachem Zember says, according to the Gaon, based on a Medrash, that the Kohen God, the Aaron HaKohen, at least, could enter the Kodesh Kodashim at any time he wanted, did he need Parisha? In other words, is the Parisha of the Kohen God on Yom Kippurim, is it because of the Kedushas HaMokoim? Therefore, if Aaron HaKohen comes in B'Shayim U'Sashono, he'll have to have Parisha? Or is it because of the Kedushas HaZaman, of the sanctity of the day, and therefore if Aaron HaKohen comes in at another time of the year, he won't have to go through the process of Parisha. So according to this, why should the Kohen go in with the years of Kodesh Kodashim? The Gaon brings a Medrash, and the Medrash says that if Aaron HaKohen, only Aaron HaKohen, wants to go in the Mishkan at any time during the year, on Chanukah and Purim, and to bring the Karbonos, which are specific to Yom Kippur, not the Musafin, but the ones which speak to Yom Kippur, he may do so. And loads and loads of kashas are answered with that. There's a whole kuntras from his Mechutim, the Chochmas Adam, at the back of the Sefer, a whole list of kashas which are answered with the Yesod of the Gaon. One of them, the Rashi says, Pasuk Chav Gimel, there in Achrei Mos, is in the wrong place. Why did Torah put it in the wrong place? Ayein Shom, V'timtzo Nachas. One of the other problems on the Yomim Noraim, the presence of the Mayadim in Parshas Emor is punked in the middle of Parshas Mayadim. There's a little parasha which seems to be totally out of place, namely the parasha of the Matnas Aniyim. It says immediately after Shavuos, V'kutzrachem es ketzir aretzachem, The very end, Pasuk Chav Beis, Chav Gimel Chav Beis. So obviously, it's begging the question, what's the Matnas Aniyim got to do with the Mayadim? So the Meshech Chochmo has got a very interesting pshat. He says, there are two sorts of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs which are chukim, which we couldn't intuit on our own seichel, such as shatnas and basar b'cholov and kashrus, and mitzvahs like kibud av v'aim and let's say, for example, tzedakah, which we could have worked out on our own. Now, Shavuos was man matan toraseinu. So, after we've thought about Shavuos, we have to think, what have we gained from Shavuos? So a person could be wrongly tempted, to think, the mitzvahs ben Adam, la mokoim, obviously, so the chukim, obviously, we wouldn't have known without Matan Torah. But the mitzvah sichlios, do you help a poor person, somebody's loading his donkey, you help him, somebody's lost an item, you try and return it. That, you know, mehechateis, you know, we would have known it even without the Torah. And in fact, the Trumas Hadeshen, one of the great Rishonim, one of the Paskim, so he got a little chibur on Rashi ala Torah. He goes on the first Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim, actually the first letter in Parshas Mishpatim says ve'ela ha-mishpatim. So Rashi says wherever it says without a vav potter is Rishonim, but ve'ela Moshe Fala Rishonim, Ma Rishonim is Sinai, just as the early ones from Sinai, Aseret Dibros was definitely from Sinai. So Achronim is Sinai. So this says the Trumas Hadeshen. Why do you need to be told that Parshas Mishpatim is from Sinai? It says even though this Parsha is near to Parshas Matan Torah, the Torah needs to hint and to emphasize that the mitzvahs which are in this Parsha, namely Parshas Mishpatim, which were also said mipi hagvura, also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because a row of these mitzvahs, the seichel is mechayev of them, the mitzvahs at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, most of them we could have worked out on our own. And therefore, a person may, they're there for Yishuv HaOlam. So I might have thought, Chas V'Shalom, that Moshe Rabbeinu, great man that he was, Midas Atzmoy Siderosom. One could have thought that, because a person could make this mistake. So the Torah has to come and emphasize that no, everything, all the mitzvahs in this parsha, even the mitzvahs which we could have worked out on our own seichel, that are also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kulam mipi agvura misinai nistavu. So the Meshech Chochma explains that's why the parsha of the Leket Shechon Peh is brought after the Chag of Shavuos to teach us that what we gain from Sinai is not only the Chukim, which we couldn't have worked out otherwise, but even those mitzvahs which we could have intuited ourselves, and which we see the other nations and other cultures, Lehavdil, have also got them. No. And the Meshech Chochma explained why it is so important to accept that they came from Hashem. Because things which the human seichel is mechayev, you can come to situations when they turn it over completely, totally forget about it, when it doesn't suit them. I remember there's a book about the Holocaust. It's not narrative, it's just purely dry technical details by Lord Russell of Liverpool. And almost 40 years ago, 50 years ago, on a paperback edition, on the front page it says, what happens when a nation forgets about G-D? I mean, he's hit the nail on the head. I mean, he didn't realize that Avraham Avinu said this thousands of years ago. Kiyomati rakei nieras Elokim b'mokom hazeh. So that's why it's so important to realize that the chukim also, that the regular mitzvahs, which could have worked out on, also come from Sinai. So the Mishnah Chacham has explained why the mitzvah satzluis boretz leket shechon peh come after Shavuos. The shaila is, and why did they come before Rosh Hashanah? So the Mishnah Chacham explains with an interesting medrash. The medrash says as follows: Ki eseh chola b'chol agoyim, I'll bring destruction, kala lo sechala, I'll bring destruction upon all the nations. Kol ha'goyim shemachalin tzadusein, all the nations which finish off their fields, they harvest the corners of their fields, achala osam, I'll destroy them, ese kol. Ach, os chalo ese kol, but you I won't destroy. Why? V'yato shein chamachalin tzadusecha, you who don't destroy your fields, lo ese kol, I won't destroy. How do dichsev? That's why the pasuk says, lo sechale pasotcha, lo sechale pasotcha. What's going on over here? Because the Yidden keep the mitzvah of Peah and Lekah and Shilchah and these things, that's why they will be spared and the Goy will be destroyed. What's going on over here? So the Meshach Chacham explains, he notes, to explain this Medrash, that the Rosh Hashanah comes at that time of the year which follows the harvest season. Says the Meshach Chochma, you can ponder this timing. After the harvest season, is that the best time for Yidden to be judged? Surely, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a person by Sher Hu Sham, a person and a nation. So surely the best time to judge Am Yisrael is it's such a time when the contrast between them and the Goyim is at its greatest. Now, after the harvest season, during the harvest season, everybody is busy in the fields. Yidden and Avdil Goyim as well. So it wouldn't seem to be the best time to judge Klal Yisrael. Everybody is busy. Because their conduct can't be distinguished from the Goyim. You could argue that the best time for Rosh Hashanah to judge Am Yisrael would be at the following the winter months, people not working in the fields, and the Goyim, as we know, during the Archikala time, when the Goyim are turning to their pursuits, and the Yidden Lehavdil turning to Torah and Mitzvah. Surely that would have been the best time to judge Klal Yisrael. So the answer, says the Meshach Chochma, lies in the mitzvah of Peah. What does that mean? It means like this. The Hashem's mishpat is based on the principle of midah keneged midah. And surely the best time for Rosh Hashanah, when our very existence is being judged, is at such a time when we're bestowing life on other people through acts of chesed. That's what we would have thought. But even acts of chesed, they fall into two categories. You've got certain acts of chesed, like truma and maisa, where the kohen, he can decide to which, the farmer can decide to which kohen or levi is going to give his matnos anim and to which ani. And you get certain matonis where the kohen has got no choice, and that's leket shichon peyo. Le'oni v'lageh, leave it in front of them and they'll take. And it's this distinctive element that you're giving people life through your chesed in such a way that they're not necessarily deserving of it. Just leave it in front of them. That imbues these matanos with a certain quality that allows us to, gives us a great advantage when we're being judged. We're giving to people, even perhaps they are not deserving, leave it in front of them, so in return, we're hoping that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachu, will give us life, even if we are not deserving. So that's what the Pshat in the Medrash. You who keep leket shichon peyo, and you're giving it to Anim, even if they're not deserving, you'll be zochin in badin, and I won't destroy you. They, who only give it to, if and when they give tzedakah, they only give it to people whom they judge are worthy of it, they'll also only be judged if they're worthy, and they could be destroyed. So it's interesting, so the Meshech Chochem is not only looking at the contents of these mitzvahs, mitzvah leket, shechen peah, is looking at the context, why it comes after Shavuos, and why it comes before Rosh Hashanah. So actually it comes out that not only, so after Shavuos, to emphasize the point that we gain from Matan Torah even those mitzvot which are not chukim, and we gain from having the Rosh Hashanah immediately after the harvest, when we've practiced the mitzvot of Leket Shichron Peor, we gain an extra advantage in din. So it comes out that the Leket Shichron Peor not only gives us an advantage in din, but it also affects the timing of Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah is after the harvest season. Let's move on to another point. And a major problem in the parish of Mayadim. If you look at the Chumash in Perachov Gimel, you like to open the Chumash, please. If you look at the Chumash in Perachov Gimel. Let's have a look at Pasuk Hey and Vav. Hey, Vav Zion. B'chodesh Harishon, it is indeed Pesach. Barbos Elochodesh Ben Arbaim Pesach LaShem. V'chamishah Soyom Achodesh Ezeh Chag Amatzes LaShem. The Torah gives the date for Pesach, and then it tells us what's the specific mitzvah on Pesach, namely Matzos. Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. Let's go now towards Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. First he gives the date. And then it gives the specific mitzvah. Zichroin Teruah Mikra Kodesh. Gives the specific mitzvah, the mitzvah of Shofar. Again, to Yom Kippur. Ach be'osa l'chodesh ha-shvi azeh, Yom Kippurim hu, Mikra Kodesh. V'nisem esnav shoseichem, the specific mitzvah of Yom Kippur. So we've been through three examples. We've established a chazakah. First we've got the date, then we've got the specific mitzvah, and then the Torah says the krav temishal Hashem, yeah, the korban musaf. We go to Sukkot, we get a big surprise. Look in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Shishi, b'chamish ha'yom l'chodesh hashvi hazeh chag Sukkot shvi Hashem l'Hashem. No mention of Sukkah. It calls it Chag HaSukkos, but it doesn't mention the mitzvah. All the other, it says the date, and then the specific mitzvah. And then we have them. Here it just mentions the date. Don't do any malacha. All the others, it says the date, and the specific mitzvah, and the malacha. It's a malacha, I forgot to mention. Here there's no mention of the specific mitzvah, and then in Pasuk Lamed Zayin he says Eile Moadei Hashem. The Torah draws a line. We've been through Shabbos, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Shavuot, Yom Kippur. Torah draws a line at the end of the Moadim. Eile Moadei Hashem. She gets some Mikra Kodesh, and then Pasuk Lamed Tes, it starts all over again. Amazing. Ach b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh ha-shvi b'asuchem b'tzvur soriz t'chogesh chag Hashem shvas yomim. And it gives us the mitzvah of l'kach l'chem b'yom ha-rishayin, and it says in Pasuk Mem Beis b'asukas teishu. What is going on? Why did the Torah not give the mitzvahs immediately as it does with all the other chagim, and why did it start all over again? And furthermore, why does the Torah need to say the date twice? It says at the beginning of this parasha, on the 15th of Tishrei in Pasuk Lamed Dalad, and then in Pasuk Lamed Tes, and a further dictum. These are not mine. from a Sefer or a Torah, another problem is, on the first case, when it mentions the date in Pasuk Lamed Dalet, it says, B'achamashot Yom LaChodesh HaShvi Hazeh. Look in Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ach B'achamashot Yom LaChodesh HaShvi. No Hazeh. What is going on? Let me answer this. It's not, as I say, it's not my teretz. Did the mitzvah of Sukkah apply in the Midbar? So, did it apply in the Midbar? Do you mean it apply, but in the form of the Anani cover? Yeah, some go on that derech. It's quite a controversy. I mean, let me just read you out a line from the Mabit, one of the Rishonim, v'efsha ki hagam shechag hamatzos v'hashavuos nagu b'midbar chagasukus le'inyan yeshiva suka lo nahagu. Shahara Yehoyu Mesuchachim Ba'anani Kavod. They were under the Anani Kavod. V'ech Yasu Sukkah. How could they make a Sukkah under the Anani Kavod? Sukkah Tachas HaSukkah. So, and he says, that's why the Torah says, L'man Yedu Deroseichem, that he said that future generations will know Ki Basukkah Soshavti, implying that this mitzvah, they weren't commanded immediately, but only when they came into the Midbar. That's the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. Did the Arba Minim apply in the Midbar? Did the Arba Minim apply in the Midbar? So the Rambam in Morin Nevuchim, I'm asking you, I didn't ask you whether they grew, I asked you whether the mitzvah applied. Pardon? So the Rambam, and the Menorah Samoir, and the Sefer Tzedel HaDerech, and the Abar Benel, all hold the mitzvah didn't apply in the Midbar. What's the rationale? Says the Rambam, in Murin Nevuchim, Bipnei Shehem Simcha, taking the Arba Minim is a Simcha, but say some in our Midbar, by virtue of the fact that we escaped from the Midbar, which wasn't a Mokum Zero, Ten of the Geffen Rivon, El Makom Ilonois, they came to a place, the land of trees and produced fruits. So, Velokach, the Koran Zer, Hanoshim Peris, I don't, yeah. So the Rambam says that the taking the Arba Minim was a demonstration that Hashem told us to make to express our thanks in a physical way for having brought us out of Eretz Mitzrayim and brought us into Eretz out of the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael. The Menorah Samor approves of this. He says, Harav Hamoira Gila Besifra Hanechmad. He demonstrates in his beautiful Sefer the reason for this mitzvah, to remember that Hashem brought us out. Mimokim Shein Peiri Eretz Malecha Leuseishim Eretz Nachle Emoim Zavas Chol Vedvosh. That's why he commanded us to take this. Says the Sefer Torah Oyer, with this, the Sefer fits in beautifully. If we look in the Pesukim again, with all the other previous Chagim, with Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, with Pesach and Shavuos, the Torah tells us the date, the specific Malacha, and the Isra Malacha. When it comes to Sukkos, it departs from this pattern, the specific mitzvah. When it comes to Sukkos, it departs from this pattern, because Sukkah and Arba Minim didn't apply. Look again at the parasha, the beginning of Shishi. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. B'chamisha asayom l'chodesh hazeh, l'chodesh hashvi hazeh. Chag ha-sukkah shvas yomim l'ashem. What does hazeh mean? Here, as we are here in the Midbar, all you've got is kol melechas avoda lo sa'asu. You haven't got the mitzvah of Sukkah, and you haven't got the mitzvah of Arba Minim. Then the Torah draws a line, Eila Moadei Hashem, And then the Torah starts all over again in Pasuk Lamed Tes. Ach b'chamishas ayoim l'chodesh hashivi. The Torah doesn't say l'chodesh hashivi hazeh. So the word hazeh is conspicuous by its absence. Torah doesn't mention it. Because now we've changed the subject, we've changed the topic from talking about the Yidden in the Midbar, where there was no mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, and no mitzvah of Arba Minim, and now we're talking when you come into Eretz Yisrael. Then when you come into Eretz Yisrael, not Chodesh Shvi Azeh, then Ba'aspachem Estvuat Horetz, when you gather in the fruit of the land, then L'kachtem L'cham Yom HaRishon creates Hador, and Basukas Teishvu Shivas Yomim. It all fits in Kemen Chaymer, and it's beautiful. It's one of these divrei which mamash brings Emes L'amitai. It's so true.
It must have had something in the first year. Hazesh. They had something to do with
this. I mean, the two possibilities. Either you could say that it's calling it Chag HaSukkos in reference to the name which is going to have for all eternity. Although the mitzvah didn't of Sukkos specifically didn't apply now. Or some want to learn that since we find in the Navi that Anani Kovod is called Sukkah. So that's in that sense, it's called Chag HaSukkos. How do you mean? Almost done. Yeah. I wanted to talk about Hanukkah, but there's very little time to do it justice. Sorry, Sfiras Haimah. Sfiras HaOmer, as we know, the Pesach is a preparatory to Shavuos. The best proof, I mean, the most simple and straightforward proof, is the fact we make Sfiras HaOmer, which links the two. But I was hoping to tell you a few other proofs that Pesach is preparatory to Shavuos, and it's in a sense it's the same Chag. And to explain why and the reasons for it, but I'm not going to be able to do justice to it, and perhaps it should be left for another shiur. Okay, shkach for listening.